Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun episode lined up. First of all, I'll announce who's here. Jacob's here. Bree's here. Aki's here. Blah, 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 blah. How are you three doing?
Doing all right. Hope the weather
holds. Alive.
Good enough.
I've got a tropical storm, so
hopefully
I don't disappear.
The tornado or the hurricane coming through.
Yeah. Tropical storm now. It's been downgraded, but yeah. So hopefully I won't drop out of the call, but now you know why if I do.
Yay. Anyway, we have a guest joining us this week. I am thrilled. Desmond Wong of the Gentle Bros is back on the show. Desmond, how are you doing today?
Hello. I'm doing good. As far as game launches go, we talked a little bit about this before the show. It's been going relatively smooth. You know, there's still issues here and there. So it's been like a... It's been a really exciting couple of few days. Had a sleepless night last night, you know, so many things were happening. Generally doing fine, you know, as far as game launches go. So excited to talk more about Cat Quest 3 with you guys.
Yeah, for the people who don't know, what is Cat Quest? What is Cat Quest 3? What has led us to this new game? Give us all the details.
Cool. So, Cat Quest is an action RPG, an open world action RPG, where you play as a cat going on a quest, right? A cat venture to save the world from some apocalyptic event, right? So every game is a unique story about this. The really cool thing about the Cat Quest games is that it's really reminiscent of like the older RPGs that we played growing up, right? Like how Final Fantasy used to have the overworld and things like this, but the entire Cat Quest game takes place on this overworld itself, right? So all the combat takes place there, and it's a really unique take on RPGs. We remove all the bloat, we make things super streamlined. So it's just a really accessible, really fun action RPG to go through, right? Cat Quest 3 is obviously the third one in this series of games we've been making. It's pirate themed this time, right? So you'll be playing as a pirate cat, and you'll be doing battle with other pirates, right? So we're introducing mice and rats for the first time in the series. They're all pirates too. You have a ship that you can control and sail around. Tons of loot to find and a really, really cool world to explore, right? So that's basically Cat Quest in a nutshell.
Cat Quest Black Flag.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. Yeah. We were lucky enough to have our hands on the game for a little bit before launch, so I am proud to say I beat it. I beat it twice. I'm like level 170. I have put way too many hours into this game, and I am in love with it. So my first question to you is just thank you for making it. It's not a question. Just thank you.
Our pleasure. It's like one of those games where the whole team was super passionate and invested in, right? So we put a lot of cool stuff in it. Like every quest is unique. Every dungeon is unique. So many cool stuff to find. And yeah, we're super proud of the end product, honestly.
It shows.
So Bree, you've had your time with the game. What are your thoughts? What kind of questions do you have first?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I have a bigger question about the whole series. Did you know when you first started that you wanted to do a series? I mean, I feel like you see the seeds of the series right from the start. But, you know, I just recently, this is my first time playing a Cat Quest game. And I loved it so much that I went back and I played the other two to prepare myself for this. And I loved all of the series. So nice. The lore is really fresh in my head right now. But yeah, did you know that you wanted to do a series?
Yes and no. So like with every new world that we create, right, we always try to, you know, come up with content or think of the world beyond what is going to be in the game. So when we first came up with the concept of Cat Quest, we actually kind of already knew that we wanted, it was really just an idea, right? We wanted to make 9 games in this series because like cats have 9 lives, right? It was just a crazy.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, it was just a crazy idea. So we had this like roadmap of what each game was going to be in this series if we ever had the chance to do it, right? So like the second game, we knew we wanted to bring in dogs because cats and dogs have that relationship with each other, right? They don't like each other. So we knew we could tell like a great story about like, you know, cats and dogs having to unite together to save their kingdom, so on and so forth, right? And for the third game, we always knew we wanted to include rats in it, right? And if you play, if you replay the first Cat Quest game,
mentioned actually,
exactly. Yeah. So we already knew that we wanted to do all this from the beginning. Just whether we got the chance to was a totally different question, right? Like, we didn't know if Cat Quest was going to be popular. We didn't know if people liked it enough that they wanted to play more than one game set in this universe that we created. So in that sense, we kind of knew like how big the whole universe and world of Cat Quest was going to be. But we didn't know if we had the chance to, if we were going to get the chance to make all those games, right? And like even now, 9 games is really crazy, right?
9 ambitious games, yeah.
Right? Yeah, I want to know what's on deck for Cat Quest 7.
Wow.
Like, let's skip 4, 5, and 6.
Cats we'll get to in space.
I think before we get to space, it's going to be like a few layers we got to go through first. But it's like we do have that roadmap, right? It's crazy. If it takes us like kind of like 3 to 5 years to make each one, I don't think I'll live long enough to see the last one, which is a really sad and morbid thought to have. But yeah.
Jacob, you chimed in there. What are your thoughts on the game so far?
So I'm really digging it. I went in there without knowing anything, like, and I was going to go to Joe and just be like, oh, you should request Cat Quest 2 as well, because, you know, if I didn't play the first one, am I not going to understand the next, like, this one? But it's very pick-up-and-play, and it's just, you could tell, like, you guys had a ton of fun with it. And it's just, like, yeah, it's like, honestly, it's a joy to play. And like, part of the thing that I really enjoyed was the fact that there's co-op in it, and like, it's accessible for my young, like, for my 2 kids, like, who are 10 and almost 7. And it's just like a good all around like game. Like, we were having a ton of fun with it, and it's just this was a very unexpected surprise for me. And yeah,
like, do you understand why I've been excited about this game for months now since it was first?
I mean,
announced?
I do now. But like
does everyone understand my psychotic joy for the existence of this franchise?
Well, yes, because you like cats. Like, you've got like 15, like 14.
Question. Are you guys cat lovers at Gentle Bros? I mean, do you have any cat inspirations for the yellow cat hero in particular, or is it just what you came up with?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? So like here in Singapore, there's a whole culture around these things we call community cats, right?
Oh,
so in the housing blocks that we live in, there's a huge amount of like cats that, you know, just live like around the void decks and the bottom of our blocks, right? So, and for the longest number of years, right, especially in Singapore, it wasn't actually allowed, it wasn't really legal to keep pets in public housing, right? So a lot of people actually took to kind of taking care of these community cats that kind of like lived at the bottom of our blocks, right? So there's this whole culture and love for cats in Singapore because of that. And we being Singaporeans ourselves, we kind of like took a lot of that love, you know, and put it into this game, right? In terms of actually owning cats within the team, right? We do have members that own cats, right? I unfortunately do not, you know, so I do kind of feel like after launching like 2 games in the Cat Quest universe, I kind of have like my own baby kittens out there in the world already, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, to your question, yes, you know, we weren't really inspired by any particular cat for the yellow cat to begin with, but we were basically just inspired, you know, and took a lot of that love for community cats in Singapore into the Cat Quest series. So that was really how it came about. Yeah.
Aki, your turn. Ask something.
I'm out of questions. No.
How are you? We just started. How are you out of questions?
Because Aki didn't have any questions.
Exactly. It's just a good game. I don't have questions for good games.
I've got plenty of questions. So
there we go. Bree has my questions. I just handed them to her. That's how this is. Okay.
All right. So this is the first two games had a little bit of a time jump. Is there another time jump leading to three, or is it just close to the timeline of two?
So, essentially, like, chronologically, right, the Cat Quest games take place in chronological order, right? So Cat Quest 2 takes place after the first one, and the third one takes place after the second, right? So, but in terms of time jumps, in a sense, that's not really as important as kind of the fact that each Cat Quest game essentially takes place in their own timeline, right?
Yeah.
So there's this character called Alias, who is like kind of like the central villain in all the Cat Quest games. So he's kind of like the Thanos, right? If you were to relate this to like the Marvel Avengers, he's kind of like the Thanos of the Cat Quest universe. He's able to kind of skip through between timelines and see each timeline to fruition, to see which timeline actually bears fruit to something that's called an artifact, right? So each Cat Quest game is basically the story of how one of these artifacts are kind of created, right?
Okay.
So yeah, they all don't take place in one timeline, they all take place in separate timelines, right? And Alias is kind of like this traveler of timelines searching for these artifacts, essentially.
That clears up my other thoughts based on what happened with the cat and the dog in two. So thank you.
Yeah, so like the cat and the dog in Cat Quest 2 are still like in like this current timeline in Cat Quest 3, but they're not the exact cat and dog that you play as in the second game. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like parallel versions, right? Parallel dimensions.
Is it a multiverse situation kind of thing?
Yeah. So like we introduced the kind of like the multiverse, multi-timeline concept in the second game. We just pretty much expanded on that for the third one as well.
So let's talk about music. It seems like you have a lot more going on in Cat Quest 3 than you did in the previous games. Like 37 different tracks.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like we really wanted, because a lot of the feedback that we got from the previous games was like there was a lot of repetition, right? Like the music was repetitive and things like that, right? So we really wanted to this time, you know, give players, you know, the feeling that every new place they went to, it feels different. There's a new soundtrack and everything. And even for like the basic soundtrack of you know, exploring the overworld, right? There's actually multiple versions of it depending on whether you're on the ship or you're on land or whether you're in a quieter situation. So our composer like really went nuts, right? He created so many different soundtracks for the game to make sure that at any point of time, you know, there's music that fits the mood and the excitement level of what's going on in any current scene, right? So
I love the like how you would move from one scene to another, and it the music all just like blended perfectly. And you had like different themes that were similar on land in one area, and then you would get on the ship and it was the same kind of theme but slightly different. That was so well done.
Thanks. Because we really wanted a sense of like, you know, when you get onto a ship, right, then you start to hear like added musical instruments into the mix. You know, there's drums now, there's like trumpet and everything, and the feeling of like, oh, now I'm on a ship, I get to sail the high seas.
Yeah. Right?
Then when you jump back on land, you know, things quieten down a little bit, you know, because now you're on land, you're back on foot, right? So that whole variation in theme is something that was really important when we first came when we first discussed, you know, the soundtrack with our composer. Yeah.
Is the soundtrack available online at all?
I think he is. I think he is selling it, right? So I have to double check if it's already out. But our composer definitely he sold the previous OSTs for Cat Quest 1 and 2 as well. So I'm really sure that he's doing it for Cat Quest 3. He asked for some art assets for the cover art, so I'm not sure when it's gonna happen, but it's definitely part of the plan.
Oh, it's on Bandcamp right now. Z-Minus on Cat Quest 3 soundtrack.
Oh,
digital
nice.
Album, 27 tracks, $10. Very nice. It is. We'll drop a link to that in the show notes, so if people want to pick that up, they could grab that. I'll drop it in chat right now, too. But yeah, the soundtrack is available, and it's only $10. Very nice.
That's good.
You going to buy it, Bree?
Yeah.
I may. That's some good stuff there.
I love rocking out to video game music in the car, and I don't care who knows it.
Me too.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing, Joe, because everyone already knew that.
Yay.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we've listened to the soundtrack so much that... It's they're really great tracks, right? But, you know, we've listened to them so much during the development of the game that it's tough to listen to it again.
I really like the Infinity Tower music on the outside, that little area that just like really quiet. I really like that one.
Yes. That's the arcane theme, and it's a really nice laid back feel, very twinkly. Yeah. So it's nice. Like I think my favorite soundtrack was it's actually one of the variations to the main tropical the main tropical theme of the game, especially the one in the main menu. It just sounds super adventurous, super piratey, you know.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
These song titles are insane too. Meowtalica, A Pirate Furtress, The Meowstical, Sunset Islands, the Meowtional Music. The cat puns in this game and on the soundtrack are just endless, and they make me smile.
Yeah.
The cat puns are one of those things where, you know, if we don't do enough of, right, people point it out, they're like, oh, you know, this could have been a cat pun, right? And why did you miss it? They were like, oh no, you know, then if we do too much, right, people are like, oh, that's too many cat puns, right?
So, there's never too many for me.
That's never too many, really?
Well, Joe, you're a monster, so that's explainable.
I am a monster.
All right, so you mentioned old RPGs. What other games or media might have inspired your ideas for Cat Quest?
Wow, so the Cat Quest games is essentially like a huge amalgamation of games that I personally played growing up, right? So that's like Final Fantasy 1 all the way through, I think, 10, right? Where you still had the overworld to explore. Yeah. Yeah, we're super inspired by games like Zelda as well, right? So, which is why in Cat Quest, there's actually a lot of inspirations from Zelda, especially when you're opening chests, when you're solving puzzles, and things like that. And obviously the Elder Scrolls games, right? So, I can't speak enough to like how many hours that I've lost to like games like Oblivion, Skyrim, and things like that.
Oh yeah,
where you just get to, you know, explore this huge open world space. So those were like the major inspirations, right? But not only that, you know, part of the goal and the design methodology of a Cat Quest game was like, how do we kind of streamline those experiences that I was talking about? Remove like a lot of the bloat that is present in those games, and make it just a really focused experience, right? So like even if you're talking about games like Oblivion or Skyrim, you know, they're super fun, super immersive game, but there's also a ton of bloat in it, right? Like your inventory is constantly like crowded with stuff. There's a huge amount of time that you need to, you know, spend on inventory management, like clearing your loot. You're always over encumbered in an
Elder Scrolls
game. I mean, so these were just things that like small inconveniences that frustrated me as a gamer, right? Like even though I love those games too, I can't love them enough, right? But those were like tiny inconveniences that we wanted to see if we could kind of like designed out of the game, right? To make it like super streamlined and super focused, which is kind of like the whole methodology of the design of a Cat Quest game, right? We just really wanted to remove all that bloat from the games that we grew up playing, essentially.
Just keep it simple, and that's one of the things I love about it, is that it's not bloated, and I don't have to stop and look at my inventory management and wonder how many typewriters I have to drop so I could be able to fast travel again.
Exactly, like even when you're collecting the same weapon again, you know, we just straight up level up that weapon for you. Like,
which I love.
I love that. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if this was any other game, right, you would have to take the item, go back to like a shop, sell that item, convert that to gold, take that gold to like a upgrade shop or whatever, and then upgrade your weapon, right? So it's like, there's so many steps involved, and you know, we wanted to just really streamline that whole process. Yeah.
Mission accomplished, I would say.
Thank you.
For the people who are new to Cat Quest 3, coming from Cat Quest 2, what would you tell them to look forward to in this game? Like, what kind of fun new stuff does the third game have in store?
Right. So the biggest new addition to Cat Quest 3 is obviously a pirate ship that you can sail. Right. So back in Cat Quest 1 and 2, you were mostly on land, right? And there was only on foot combat, right? So when we were looking at designing Cat Quest 3, we knew we wanted to kind of add something completely new to the game that, you know, touches all the core systems that we have, right? Which is exploration, combat, and loot, right? So the ship, in a sense, is something that helps achieve that goal, because with the ship, you know, you're able to explore more areas in the world at a greater pace and with much more flexibility, right? Because in previous games, like, if you were to go to a tougher area, you know, if the enemies are too tough, you know, your character is really at a huge risk. But now with a ship, right, there's like that added, you know, layer of defense that you can have, because your ship takes damage first before your character, right? In terms of combat as well, you know, ship combat is something new that we've added, you know. So naval combat is something that evolves the core gameplay in Cat Quest. And on top of that as well, you can, the ship is pretty much like an added tool in your arsenal, right? You can use the ship in regular combat as well. You can include that in your combos and things like that. And obviously all this, right, kind of culminates in getting more loot, both for your cat character as well as your ship as well, right? So for fans who are coming into the series from the previous two games, right, we think the ship is like the biggest new thing that we feel shakes up the core gameplay in a huge way. And for people who are coming in for the first time, right, you know, like, the Cat Quest games are just super accessible, super easy to pick up. The ship is something that's there that really helps gameplay as well. So I think for new players, it's going to be a lot to enjoy. And for existing fans, right, there's a lot to a lot of things that are new here to experience that are different from the previous two games. Yeah.
As the designer of the game, what are some of your favorite I don't want to spoil any of them necessarily because of how cool some of them are, but the ocean battles, the big bosses that you could take on, what are some of your favorites there?
I think there's one particular boss fight that the whole team is super proud of, right? And that's the Meltelica boss fight, right? So it's a boss fight that kind of takes place in like a concert hall, right? Because the whole thing with Captain Meltelica is that he's inspired by a heavy rock metal band, right? Like, his pirate crew is called the Metalheads. Like, his entire boss fight is like a concert, right? So as all his attacks are basically like guitar riffs that shoot out lightning bolts, and then the crowd is cheering as he does it, right? So it's a really cool battle, you know. Visually, it's super different from everything else in the game. His attack patterns are also really fun to memorize and you know, learn, right? So yeah, I think the Meltelica boss fight is like one of our favorites. Like if we're talking about naval battles, you know, there's a particular battle against a really, really huge sea monster, which I'm not sure if you guys have experienced yet, but it's like one of the biggest boss fights, you know, we've ever made in a Cat Quest game. Yeah, so I think those are the two that stick out in my mind. You know, there's a lot of other cool boss fights as well, right? I think these are the two that the team especially had a lot of fun making. Yeah.
I gotta say, I love how you're able to take on higher level enemies with the ship if you're good, because those, you know, the enemy ships, they take time to swerve around and turn towards you so they could fire at you, where you're a tinier ship, you could zip around, shoot a bunch of cannonballs, throw your specials at them quick, and then just zip away and figure eight them and just kite the monster until you take it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I took out something, I think I was level 40 something, and I took out a level 80 boss.
Wow. Did you guys fight the rubber duck?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, the first time I hit that, it took me out. I didn't know what it was. I was just like, oh, what's this? Let me shoot it. Oh, nope, that was just
a there's actually a lot of like nuance with the ship movement as well, right? Like if you were to boost and kind of like turn in a 180 degree manner, your ship can kind of like do a drift, right? So there's lots of cool little nuances in the ship movement that lets you, you know, kind of like evade an enemy attack and immediately retaliate with your own. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. Yeah.
We have a question from chat. This is something I was going to try sneaking in, but because chat asked it, now I have to. It's legal. Any plans for the first game to come to Xbox and complete the trilogy on that platform?
Right. So we currently have no plans for that at the moment. We're concentrating on three. Yeah. So,
but how will I understand the whole trilogy?
Like the reason we couldn't really do that in the beginning was because of like there was like a technical limitation with the Unity engine at that point. So we're not sure if they fixed that issue. But you know, as we started making more games, you know, it's something that we want to definitely revisit in the future. Right now, that
we would love for you to revisit that.
Yeah, Cat Quest one re-meowstered.
There you go.
Have everything, finally on Xbox, yeah, for sure.
Well, speaking of Xbox, we're big fans of achievements around here as well, and I feel like the achievement list was really well balanced. How much thought did you guys put into that list this time around?
So we basically took everything we learned from the previous few games, right? Like we wanted it to be like a mix of something that you could progressively achieve. And also something that was achievable, right? So in a Cat Quest game, it's like it's super important for players to be able to finish a game, walk away from it, and feel like, you know, they've 100%ed the entire experience in a way that, you know, isn't too crazy, right? So a lot of achievements are centered around basically completing something, right? Like collecting all the equipment, completing all the quests. We also use the achievements in a way to kind of hint to players that there might be something else going on with a certain part of the game that you might want to, you know, look into again. Like, for example, I'm not sure if you guys completed the Happily Ever After quest, the one with the permit. Oh, yep. You did, right? Okay, yeah, because like in playtest, a lot of people didn't think of going back to the permit to see who ended up being her Prince Charming, right? So we decided to add like an achievement to let players know, like, hey, you know, there's something more to do with this quest. Maybe if you were to go back, you'll be able to find out more about it. So yeah, that's kind of like the approach we took to designing the achievements this time. Yeah,
I think it turned out well.
thanks.
I
gotta step away for a quick second. My cats are fighting right now. So Aki, you ask your questions. I'll be right back.
All right.
Aki has questions now?
Yes, I developed some. It's crazy. Sometimes my brain works. It's just slow. Leave me alone. So the first question is, are all the other games as good as this one? Because this is the only one I've played, and it kind of really makes me want to go get them all on Steam. So are the others, they play similar to this, or how are they different?
Right, so like that's a great question, right? So like with every game we make, we're obviously improving on what we did before. So in mechanically, Cat Quest 3 is the most developed, the tightest and the most robust of all the Cat Quest games, right? But I would say that the core spirit of what makes a Cat Quest game a Cat Quest game is pretty much intact in all iterations of it. Like, you would still feel like you're playing a Cat Quest game, right? Like the pacing that makes the games unique, you know, the core mechanics that makes everything flow the way that it does is still very much present in all the Cat Quest games. Cat Quest 3 in particular, you know, we took a lot of different approaches to many different things, right? So like in terms of quest design, in terms of world design, it's pretty different from the previous few games. So in that sense, if you're coming from the third one, you know, the core gameplay still would feel very much like a Cat Quest game, but like the general structure of the world may be different. Not necessarily worse, right? But it's just something different, right? And mechanically, obviously the first one is the least mechanically strong out of everything. So I think there's definitely stuff to enjoy, right? But just do note that the first game like came out so many years ago where we were like still really super inexperienced in game development. But they're still all great games in their own right.
Well, I just played it and I can say that while you can tell that there were improvements as you went along, like I still had a really great time playing the first one. I played them backwards essentially, and I still had a great time with the first one. So
you played the third one, then you played the second one, and then you played the first one?
That is exactly how I played them.
Wow, interesting. I'm really curious, like, how was the experience like? Because, like, I've only known the series from, like, 1, 2, 3. But, like, how did it feel playing it backwards?
I would say the only thing that going from 2 to 1 is that there are so many similarities between the first two in terms of, like, the land and that sort of thing. And like, the music being a little repetitive. Like,
yeah.
It was very samey between 1 and 2 for me, but I still had a good time with it. Just, you know, I wanted to get to the core of the Alias story and see how it started. So,
yeah, because that's actually part of my question, because like knowing the stuff you know about Alias in the third one, does it change how you perceived him in the second and first game? Because we only introduced Alias like quite late. Properly introduced him quite late in the first game when he escapes the zero dimension, right? But now knowing everything that you know in the third game, how did that affect how you viewed that character in the story?
I think it made Dracoth, I think that was his name, a more sympathetic character.
Interesting.
For me, just because I know what the rest of the plans are kind of going into the ending, and But I like how the zero dimension evolved over time as well. So that was kind of cool to see how it started out very basic and kind of expanded.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool to know. It's really interesting to see like new fans, you know, come to the series like in the third one and their experiences with the previous two games.
Yeah. So you guys like to hide things in your games.
yes, we do. Like,
do you think that there are any secrets people have yet to find in any of the games?
In any of the games, I think definitely by now, you know, I think we've seen every secret already posted online. Even for the third game. So like for Cat Quest 3, there was like a review process, right? Like when we sent out codes to media outlets and stuff like that, right? So we had a lot of them, and I mean like a lot of them, like reach out to us saying like, hey, we're missing, you know, like one equipment or like one treasure chest for 100%, right? Like exactly, you guys did that too, right? And it was always like it was the Gentle Bros quest and the bird poop, right? These were the two secrets that everyone, almost everyone, missed. So we were really curious to see like how long the community would take to find these guys, right? And like true enough, you know, the internet is what it is, and like kind of like within the first few hours, you know, everyone figured it out, right? So it's like so it's like no matter how hard you try to hide something in a game, you know, the internet's just gonna figure it out, right? So but yeah, like speaking of secrets, you know, it's the Cat Quest 3 is the one that we crammed the most secrets into. Like even with the bird poop, you can level it up to 99 and it changes into something else. So like they're just like a cool little.
That's my next goal is to figure that
out. Yeah, that's my next goal now too. I'm gonna start my new game plus, and I'm definitely gonna do something with the bird poop. So
I'm mad because I literally just spent like 300,000 coins leveling up a weapon that I could have used on bird poop instead.
Not like money comes super easy if you play the Infinity Tower, right? It's purposely designed that way because we wanted players to kind of experiment with upgrading their weapons. We didn't want players to, you know, be stuck with a certain build if they felt they wanted to change, right? So if you play the Infinity Tower, you know, gold comes super easy. You can upgrade anything you want, like, quite easily, especially in New Game Plus, right?
The Infinity Tower is even better because not only can you make a lot of money, it constantly gives you chests that levels up your gear automatically already. So it's like, I love that place.
Yeah. It gives you like the magic crystals as well, the one that lets you upgrade your spells.
Yes. Right?
So it's We hope players, you know, kind of like push themselves to see, you know, how far they can go each time. Like my personal record in the Infinity Tower now is, I think, 75.
Oh wow!
Crap.
Yeah, 75.
I was just about to ask what the highest you've seen is. Mine is 47.
The trick, right, is to like find a weapon that can kill enemies in like one hit for the earlier waves, right? Then that lets you build up enough time to last longer near the end. So it, like, even in my team, 75 is like not even the highest internally.
I think our
QA tester is like 165 now.
I got to level 44. Granted, I'm still on my first playthrough. I haven't started New Game Plus, but 44 is the lowest I've gotten.
But for 44, it's really good for like the first playthrough. I think the like our QA staff who got 165, that was like on NG+9, so he's like super strong. He's super strong. So,
well, talking about New Game Plus, how, I know it allows you to level your characters, but does it also allow you to level your different pieces of gear beyond level 99, or does one of them cap?
It does. So like every New Game Plus you unlock, it increases the level cap for both your character and his equipment, right? So I think in NG+2, the cap becomes 199, which is the same for your equipment as well, right? So by the time you get to NG+9, you know, the cap is going to be 999 for both your player and the equipment.
Yeah. Oh no. So much time to play this now.
Yeah. Do the enemies in the Infinity Dungeon get stronger as well? Like level one in New Game, is that one level button? Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, they do. Because like the whole point is we wanted players to, you know, get stronger in New Game Plus, go back to the Infinity Tower to see like what new, like how much deeper they can go, right? So enemies don't, like, the Infinity Tower stays the same throughout all the NG+ difficulties, for sure.
All right, what's your favorite weapon in the game?
Oh, my favorite weapon is the Squidopus. Have you guys got it yet? It's like this shotgun kind of gun that
shoots. I have everything. I've 100% of this game already.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you have?
Cool. Yeah, we all have.
Well, except
I'm the only one who hasn't yet.
Everyone has. Scrub. Wow. Oh, shame on you. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I lost 100% of this game in one sitting, so...
Wow. How long did it take you? I'm curious, just like...
I started midday and finished it the following morning. Probably around one or two, something like that.
Yeah, this is why I haven't finished the game yet.
Yeah, I unlike the rest of these people, I have no life. So video games is all I do.
And go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm similar. Like if I'm not making games, I'm playing games, right? So yeah.
So what are you playing now these days?
Oh man. So like I was playing the name I keep forgetting is Kintsugami, right? That's the Capcom, right? That was good. It's a really good game. It's so well designed. Every level in that game is different from the last. There's always some new hook or new mechanic in each level that spices up the core gameplay. So that's really impressive from like a game design point of view. Previously, I was actually playing Lords of the Fallen, right? Before I started this. So I didn't get into Lords of the Fallen from the beginning. I waited till it got its like 1.5, version 1.5 patch, I believe. I started it. I really like that game. You know,
Fall into the Abyss.
I think it's a shame that it had so much kind of like bad press when it came out initially. Like I legitimately feel it's a good game. You know, like I think it's well designed. It's good graphics, gameplay. It's really fun. It has that really interesting Umbro mechanic where you could go into like the world of the dead and things like that. So yeah, I thought that was a good game. I like this month alone, I can't wait to, now that Cat Quest 3 is out, right, and I kind of have like more time, I really want to play like Black Myth Wukong. I think that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars, right, at the end of the month, right? So these are two games that I'm like super looking forward to as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Got to give a quick shout out to Dopey, who just rated us with 21 viewers. Welcome in, everyone. We are chatting with Desmond Wong of the Gentle Bros about Cat Quest 3, which just launched today. I know we don't have too much more time left with you, but for the people who just joined us, real quick, give us a quick synopsis of what the game is, how much is it, where people can get it. Give us all the details really quick.
Yeah, so like Cat Quest 3 is an open world action RPG, right? Set in the Caribbean, right? So it's a pirate themed game where you play as a cat, going on an adventure, you know, to find the most legendary pirate treasure of all. It's a super fun, super accessible RPG that's available on almost every platform, right? So it's on Steam, it's on the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series consoles. It's a
what yeah, about Virtual Boy? Any thoughts on a Virtual
Boy? Oh, Virtual Boy! I'm not sure if it could even run the title screen, you know, on the Virtual Boy. But we'll look into it, right? Yeah. So the launch has been going great so far. If you guys want to try it out, you know, I think it's on 10% discount now on Steam, if I'm not wrong.
Cool.
So yeah, it's a great game. We hope everyone give it a try. There's a demo available as well if you're on the fence and if you want to see what the game is really about. The demo is available on Steam, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 5 as of today. So yeah, do give the game a try if you like it. Please like, you know, support the team that made it as well. I think it's we're all super proud of it.
Well, you have every reason to be proud of it. The game is awesome. The last question I have for you is, yes, what is next? What can we expect next? Is there going to be any updates to the game, any DLC to the game possibly? What's in the future?
Yes. Yeah, so like right now, the team is already hard at work on a Mew game, right? So Mew game is like
Mew game.
Mew game. It's an extra mode that is present in every Cat Quest game, right? So it's like a mode that lets you equip various modifiers, like maybe, you know, like a modifier could be something like you can't equip any weapons, right? Or your character can't level up, right? So it's challenge modifiers that make the game harder. And the more you equip, the greater your reward at the end as well, right? So that's a mode that we are currently working on, right? Rest of the team, the rest of the team were actually in pre-production for our next project already. So that's super exciting as well. So we'll have more to talk about that in the coming few years. But as of now, Yeah, all hands on deck on Cat Quest 3 and making sure the launch goes as well as it can be.
Very cool. Jacob, any final questions on your end?
I'm curious, like, if there was, like, any, like, cut content, like, stuff that, like, you had, like, that you thought was, like, a cool idea, but, you know, you either didn't really get to explore because of time constraints or, like, it just didn't work out.
Right, like, okay, so you all played the game, right? So there's this particular dungeon called the Love Pearl Dungeon, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah, it plays like a visual novel, right, in a way. So the very earliest concept for this was that we essentially wanted to make a separate game hidden inside Cat Quest 3. So like, if you were to go inside the Love Pearl Dungeon, it would basically boot up this hidden game of you playing an actual, like, visual novel, like a real
visual novel. That would have been cute.
Yeah, but it was, like, so overscoped. So we were like, okay, you know, we still love the idea of, like, of a dungeon essentially playing like a visual novel. So we basically incorporated that into the dungeon design as well. So you're still kind of, like, reading a story. You're still choosing, you know, options for where to go in the story, but it's all done in the mechanics of Cat Quest instead. Yeah. So, like, speaking of cut content, that's the one that sticks out in my mind, because it was such a cool idea. Yeah.
Aki, any final questions on your end?
Yes. What is the highest New Game Plus that you can enter?
That would be +9. Yes.
Okay. So after you finish your final playthrough, there is no continuing from there. Okay.
you can replay NG +9. So it just doesn't become +10. Yeah. So
okay.
You can keep playing, replaying NG +9. Yeah. So you can restart it again.
He's going to be on New Game 8 next week.
I might. Will the Muster, I think is what you called it, will that be available in the New Game Pluses, or is that only available from the very beginning?
New Game.
The Mew Game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mew Game unlocks after completing a regular playthrough once. So you will unlock both New Game Plus and Mew Game at the same time, like once that releases. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Bree. Cool. Final question.
I just have a comment instead of a question. Whoever came up with your PR package was a meowsing with the cat inspired and the wanted so much, frame. Man. That was amazing.
How can we get those? Those are amazing.
I'm not sure, actually. I think there's some like contest going on where I think people could win.
I think Eurogamer's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I want the pirate ship for my cats to play with.
I know.
With.
Yeah, it's super cool, right? I was like, I keep saying like we should sell this. I think people will buy it. It's like it's so cool.
I'll buy it. Is,
I was gonna say, even just on your social media page, if you put up the picture of the wanted frame with a transparent background, I would totally print that out and just make my own for my cat. So
it's really nice. It's like I'm not sure if you guys can see also, but it comes with a full colored like map of the Peruvian as well. So
that's cool.
That's something. Yeah, something so cool. It's like a lot of us. We framed it up already and put it in our office.
Oh yeah,
like super nice.
That's so awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, well, tell Kepler if they have any spares. We're happy to buy some.
Yeah. Happy International Cat Day, everybody.
Yeah. Happy International Cat Day.
Oh, man. Well, Desmond, it has been such a pleasure having you back on the show. We'll have to get you back on again in the future whenever your new project is ready to chat about.
Cat Quest 4.
Nah, our next one wouldn't be Cat Quest. I'll just put it out there first. Yeah, it's going to be.
Exclusive news. The next game.
No.
It's Dog Quest, obviously.
No, it's going to be something completely different. Yeah, we want all to try something new. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. The game is out now. Everybody, go pick it up. Give it a shot. Give it a play. We're actually going to review it in a little bit later on the show. But for now, Desmond, again, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, like Cat Quest 3 is out, you know, we hope everyone enjoys it, right? We've put in a lot of effort. It was, this is the proudest we've ever been with a game that we've made. And we hope everyone enjoys it as well.
Awesome. Yes. Thank you so much for your time. Have yourself a wonderful night or wonderful day. It's Friday over there.
Yeah, my day just started.
Like, night for us. We're ready to close up for the night, but you're starting your day. So yeah. Have yourself a great day. Have yourself a wonderful interview with the next crew you got coming up. And thank you again. Have yourself a wonderful night, day, whatever.
Thank you for having
me. Can't talk.
Bye-bye. Yay, you guys have a good evening as well. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Peace.
Oh, that was fun. The game is awesome. I'm so happy he was able to make time to come on and join us.
Yeah.
I was honestly
I saw the click hit 9:40. I'm like, fuck, we got to wrap this up.
I know.
You just said no bad language.
The interview's over.
Oh, and
he said shit once. I heard him.
Yeah. I know. I heard him. I was going to tell my mom.
Man, that was a really good interview, though. I'm so happy he made the time to come on. The game is awesome. Go pick it up. Ooh. Go play it.
Poor Acolyte made an awesome little comment in chat. Cat Quest makes sense that there's 9 playthroughs because cats have 9 lives. I never thought of that. That's genius.
Yeah, that's why he said they were going to make 9 Cat Quest games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the next one. I want another one. I really liked this game, okay?
Like, we gotta wait a few weeks before we talk about it, but the ending, like, we gotta talk about that eventually.
We should have a little session, because, yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got time between now and then, Aki, to go play, you know, Cat Quest 1 and 2, and then we can all swap theories.
Yeah.
I don't have the money for it right now, but...
Yeah, same.
I bought too many Gunpla.
Too much Gunpla.
Yeah. Yeah, legitimately, yes, that is exactly what happened. Too much Gunpla. I've spent this entire month's me money almost incomplete already, and it's not even the 10th day of this month. So, yeah, it's not good.
Proud of you.
Are you eating ramen for the rest of the month?
No, I have money for food. It's
okay.
My me money is stuff that I can spend, you know, if I want to go out to eat or if I want to buy Gunpla, and that's really all I ever buy, so. I have very few hobbies, okay? Leave me alone.
Well, should we get to news? Because there is some news we got to get through, and then we got reviews to take care of. This is going to be a long show.
I got one thing to say first.
What do you got to say?
It's my 1-year anniversary of being co-host on the show.
Really?
Yes.
Hold on. There we go.
Yay.
Yay.
How's it been? Have you enjoyed yourself?
I'm having a great time with you guys.
I don't know.
Honestly?
Why, but
really?
Honestly, I mean, no one is holding me under duress. I'm having a great time with you guys.
I'm glad to be here. I'm sure you say that to all the podcasts.
Probably.
Yeah. Instead,
it's been good having you on. It's been good having you on here too, Bree. I mean, give us an air of respectability, and you know, at least somebody on the Thursday Last night show elegance. Has. Well, I was going to say, like, you know, reviews that are actually coherent, so...
Hey, my reviews are coherent. Fuck you.
Shut up. You're nothing you say is coherent.
How dare! But, you know, as Jacob was saying, legitimately, we do have a slight air of sophistication when you're around. Your reviews are a lot more verbose than ours could ever hope to be. We all sound like Neanderthals. So thank you. That's awesome.
Dropping bits!
Injury, thank you so much for the biddies. Dropping 69 biddies total. Thank you so much. Nice.
Nice.
That's a sound clip we need. The nice sound clip. Instead, we got...
Thick. Who said that?
Just a wrestler. And if you don't like it...
Cry me a river!
I was expecting the go fuck yourself one, but
yeah, well,
go fuck yourself.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yes. No. Thank you.
Yay!
So, news. Should we get into news?
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right. Jacob, thank you for the single bit, cheap whore.
You are welcome. Somebody's got to keep this podcast alive.
True. Game Pass. 3 games joining Game Pass in the first half of the month. Not a ton, but there's some good stuff. Yesterday, we got Creatures of Ava, and today we got Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
Yay!
Also, just had a drop of Doom 1 and 2, which is a new combo.
Yeah, so Joe and I were like briefly discussing it before the show, and I went and looked on the Microsoft Store, and the Xbox 360 and the old Xbox One versions have all been delisted.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a new, quote, definitive edition of Doom 1 and 2 available.
Which now has like an extra level. But I mean, if you already own them, then you get them for free. So cool.
Yeah.
We got emote only chat coming on. I forget how to change that shit. Emotes only. There we go. We'll do that for a few minutes.
Oh, our chat's going to be so dead now thanks to that.
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever. Time for milk to show up for an entire page. Next week, August 13th, Mafia Definitive Edition is joining Game Pass.
Nice.
Yeah, so 3 good games joining. 4 games are leaving, with Offworld Trading Company on Windows leaving, Airborne Kingdom, Shadow Warrior 3, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre leaving on August 15th.
A shame. Such a shame.
Hey, Shadow Warrior's good.
Mm. Yeah, that's the only one in the group I would consider playing.
Yeah, but oh well. The rumors were true last week. Avowed is officially delayed to February 18th of next year.
Fair.
Oh, yay. The Switch has sold over 143 million units worldwide.
Oh, congrats to them.
Holy hell.
Yeah, it's a big number.
Dead by Daylight's next crossover is going to be Five Nights at Freddy's. Yay.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Star Wars Jedi Survivor is getting an Xbox One and PS4 release on September 17th.
Ooh.
So if you still haven't played Jedi Survivor, now you could play it in worse quality.
Yep.
Yay.
I might get it for the stack. Why? For the stack.
Is it going to be a stack, or is it just going to be a separate purchase?
I don't know.
With a single achievement list.
Aki no idea. Will find out and become $60 lighter. On the plus side, that's money that doesn't go to a gunpla. So
true.
That's what you think.
Well, no, if it goes to Star Wars, it can't go to gunpla.
I will just find a way to have more money, yo. I will then find that's a
separate
way.
Money.
No, it's the same money.
No,
all money goes to gunpla.
That's not how that works.
No, all money goes to gunpla.
Do you understand how money works?
No.
I feel like your gunpla collection actually verifies that, but you
yes,
know.
Very clearly it does. Yes.
Oh dear.
Oh Lord. So let's see. Sad news. Pinball FX3. Is losing the Balls of Glory pack, will no longer be available for new purchase on August 28th. Current owners will still be able to play their tables. This is the really, really cool Fox pack that has Archer, Family Guy, American Dad, and Bob's Burgers. So this is a sad pack to see go away. I was really hoping this one would show up in FX. But if it's getting delisted in 3, I don't think it's coming back.
Yeah.
That sucks, but I will be buying it as soon as I get paid. So
yeah, did you all see that big Pinball FX sale that was on like a month ago?
Nope.
Well, I mean, we did talk about it, but we were all more concerned about the Xbox 360 sale.
Yeah, and I stocked up on that sale.
What, the Xbox 360?
No, the Pinball FX sale.
Oh, yeah, I assume you bought everything that was in it.
I did.
Yeah.
60% off. You're goddamn right I did. those tables never go on sale that much. They're like 20, 30%. Get a deal that good on like everything? Oh, man. Last bit of news I have is some more shit news. After 33 years, Game Informer was shut down with an AI written note and a full website deletion, archives and all. Then when a former writer posted a thank you to the final staff members on Twitter, GameStop closed their Twitter account.
Yep, it's just gone. Like,
yeah. They've also closed the Facebook page too.
Mm.
Jesus.
So GameStop are assholes.
Yeah, there's just like a landing page on the website that has the note. That's it. That's all that's left.
After 33 years, that's all they got.
Yep.
I knew they closed, but damn. That's, wow.
Yeah.
Yep, just burned it.
I'm happy to say I haven't been in a GameStop in about 8 months now. I don't think I've been in one this
those
year.
Those are rookie numbers.
No, yeah, I'm someone who would go there for boredom to just walk around and look at stuff. I don't think I've been there this year.
I go there to help the female employees take breaks.
Mm.
I run everybody out of the store by intimidating them with my gamer score.
Nice.
That is my favorite story now. New Bree lore unlocked. I appreciate that.
But yeah,
I haven't been there in over a decade now, I don't think.
Wow. Those are impressive numbers.
Yeah, that's why I called yours rookie.
The
last time I visited them, they were profitable.
Oof.
Yeah, ouch. It's been a long fucking time.
Aki, what news do you have?
Well, I have some news that I don't know if it's going to matter to most people here. However, the owner of a website called Fur Affinity, I think it's like DeviantArt, but for furries, died because the healthcare system fucked him over. So, furries in our... he had a lung issue, and he kept going to doctors to get help for it, and then they charged him like tens of thousands of dollars just to tell him, oh, we can't help you here. And he eventually died from it. It's a shame. And he owned the website. So what's happening with the website is up in the air right now. Because, you know.
He didn't have anything set up, or they don't know if he had anything set up.
No one knows if he had anything set up right now. Because he doesn't have a partner, and his parents were not supportive of any of this. So we have no idea what's going on with the system. So for any furry folks in chat who have stuff on here, you might want to start downloading your stuff again just in case.
And
yeah. Yeah. It sucks for the furry community. But you know, they'll power through. They always do. And yeah, that's mine. 'Cause I have to be a downer, folks.
Bree, what news do you have?
House Flipper 2 has a new free update with over 150 new items, a new job, a loft style home, other features requested by the community, and it's available on PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. Yeah, free updates are good. Bethesda partnered with Mega, like Mega Bloks, to create Fallout T60 Power Armor Collection with 5 buildable micro figures and stands. It comes in a collector set.
Ooh.
It'll be available on Amazon November 20th. Pre-orders are available now.
Interesting.
Pretty cool. I know, like, yes. Mega has done the Halo stuff, and I think they're all owned by Mattel.
Yeah, Mega Bloks is.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm looking at them now.
Yep. It's a cool little set. Comes with a Fallout box, you know, collector's box. Looks cool.
Jazzy.
That was all my news.
Jacob, what you got?
All right. Well, Sega has filed a trademark for Yakuza Wars. That's all we know.
Okay.
I mean, so that's exciting. There is a High on Life animated comedy show that it's in the works. JB Smoove is attached as a producer.
Cool.
No. Oh, okay.
What?
So, no, I don't know. I was expecting more to be said. Okay.
I guess Roiland's not going to be involved, is he? Like, are they going to get his...
They haven't said, but, like, I assume he's not. I mean, if he is, he's probably only by, like, name only.
Yeah, I can't see anyone wanting him involved.
Yeah. Dell laid off more people.
Sounds about right.
Meta has shut down Ready at Dawn, the folks who made the Order 1886 and Lone Echo.
That's a shame.
They had purchased them to do some VR work, something called, or what? First off, it was Lone Echo, and then there was something called Echo VR. It was like a multiplayer version of that. And then now nothing. And also fun news, we now have the romance stats for Baldur's Gate 3, and we now know how many times people had sex with the bear.
A lot.
Entirely a lot. Too goddamn many is the answer to that.
So about like of the three of the 658,000 players who had sex with the character, 70% chose to sleep with him in his human form, while the other 30 went for the bear.
Nice.
I've lost all faith in humanity again.
I thought it'd be higher.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you figure everyone that is just playing at home doing their own thing, but I guess not. Roblox.
Well, now I gotta ask my roommate what he did.
Can you ask him right now?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Anyway, Roblox has opened up a virtual box office, and you can buy tickets to go see Beetlejuice 2 as long as you are above the age of 13.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know. I find it kind of weird because, like, I don't know any kids that are clamoring for Beetlejuice, but maybe they figure this will drum up interest. I don't know.
Can't
I mean,
it feels worse than fucking Borderlands movie, right?
Well, hold on. I was going to get to that.
Oh.
So, Borderlands. Ooh, actually, this morning it was at 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see if it's gotten any better.
I saw it was at 4.
It was at 4%. God. Jesus, this site's full of ads now. It's at 6%.
Oh, it's doing good.
Moving up. The general reviews are, some people think it's fun, but pretty much everyone is in agreement that it's uninspired and kind of generic. So, yeah.
Hey, Deadpool and Wolverine's at 78. Nice. I still need to see that.
Y'all need to watch that so bad.
I really do. I want to go so bad.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm actually trying to go see Borderlands this weekend if I can.
Stupid ass.
Well, no, because here's the thing. Up on T-Mobile, if you have T-Mobile for your cell phone subscription, in their T-Mobile thing, they're offering $5 movie tickets for it. So, nice. And usually that, like, they'll let you do IMAX with that without an upcharge, depending on the theater. So if I could go see that in IMAX for $5, I'm going. If I can't, I might go, but I'll probably just wait till I can spend $5 to get it digitally. Yeah. So that's pretty much all the news I have.
Cool. I think that's
Oh my god. How could I forget? Disney Dreamlight Valley talk.
Oh Christ.
Duh. Oh shut up. So this
first
August,
game to talk about tonight.
Hey, no. I get to talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley. Anyway.
Until I boot you from the chat.
Good. Then I don't have to review anything tonight. Please boot me. I dare you. Anyway.
If I'm being dared.
Yeah, do it. I won't review anything tonight. then
what about Star Wars?
What about it?
You know you want to.
What?
Review it? Yeah.
What do you mean? Like Outlaws?
I want to play it.
Or Bounty Hunter?
Bounty Hunter.
Hold on. You're just trying to get me to start reviewing the game instead of talking about Disney Dream. No, I'm not falling for that.
You know, no. I can just like move you to the green room, right?
I don't.
I just moved him to the green room. Okay, you're back.
What? What do you mean I'm back?
Nothing.
Did you move me?
Yes, I moved you to the green room and then brought you back.
Was I? So wait. Wait. So is any of this on the?
All of it's on the show.
Okay. All right. Then I don't give a crap. All right. Cool. All right. So, yeah. No, it was just like I swear to God, if I have to find out on Saturday whether or not I got to talk about Disney Dreamlight Valley, we're gonna have problems next Thursday.
Oh no, it's all getting edited out, so you'll be fine.
I swear to God, Joe, I will listen to this podcast.
No, you don't won't.
Don't make me. No, I will actually, just to find out whether or not this made it in.
You all right, liar.
Stop. Shut up and stop fucking with me so I can just
first
say
first game to talk games. About tonight.
I swear to God, Joe. coming this month. We get Tiana from Princess and the Frog, and surprise announcement, we are getting Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King. They had been hinted at before, as they were seen in early game videos along with Wreck-It Ralph, but now they're actually going to be coming, so you actually have a reason to return to the Lion King biome or whatever the crap it's called. And then also sometime by the end of the month, we're also going to get the conclusion of the DLC, the Edge of Eternity or whatever the heck it's, I don't know, Eternity Island or whatever the crap it's called. I don't know, man. I just run around.
You're
my
the one who plays it nightly. You should know this shit.
I actually haven't logged in for 3 days because I've been busy playing Forza Horizon 4 to get that achievement that I'll never get. I started playing another Crab's Treasure last night because I was hoping to get in there before the devs fix the menu glitch. Anyway,
what menu glitch?
So what had happened is, well, it was, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was news for like 5 hours.
It was a little longer than that.
Well, all right, so like most of the day. But by the time that I got to play it, it had already been patched. But essentially, they had updated the game, and it accidentally made it so if you hit left bumper in the pause menu, it opened up the dev menu, and you could just like scoot through the whole game in like an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that like there's assists in the game, which I'm now playing with, and I'm scooting through the whole game like pretty damn quick. And my crab's got a gun on his back. Like, I just pop a cap whenever like I see anybody from like 15 yards away. Like seriously,
and it doesn't screw up achievements.
No, it's great. Dude, if it screwed up achievements, I wouldn't be playing.
Okay, I might be playing that next.
Yeah, yeah, dude, it's fun as hell. It's just like once you can have shells, you can just like attach the gun, and then you just like, and like, boom, that guy's dead from like 30 yards away.
That's my way of playing. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so anyway, DLC for Disney Dreamlight Valley finishes up at the end of August, so we get to find out what happens to Jafar. I don't know if he's going to become part of Disney Dreamlight Valley himself. I mean, it makes sense. It would be in line with the whole thing, but then it also introduces Aladdin to the valley. So, I mean, it's logical, but we have to see. And I'm really hoping that they release it on a Wednesday because that's my day off from work. Okay, on to reviews. I was like, I swear to God, if you move me to the green room again.
I mean, I can. I just did. And you're back.
Yes, I know. I heard the...
first game to talk about tonight is Star Wars Bounty Hunter, developed and published by Aspyr, released August 1st, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $19.99. Experience the legendary bounty hunter fantasy set before the events of Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Face off against foes and maneuver through acrobatic battles. This adaptation optimized for today's consoles and hardware. Jacob, what is going on in Star Wars Bounty Hunter?
Rejoice, Xbox game players. We finally get to experience Star Wars Bounty Hunter like 22 years after it originally came out. Go us.
Isn't it finally compatible?
No, it released on PS2.
Oh.
Yeah, it was never on Xbox.
Thinking of the wrong one. I know there's like 4,000 Star Wars games that are backer compatible.
There is, and I'm really hoping that like Spire just like keeps moving to like the weirder ones in the catalog, so you know we can eventually get Super Bombad Racing and you know Droid Works and other stuff. Anywho, so Star Wars Bounty Hunter is set before the events of Episode 2, and you get to play as Jango Fett, who, if in case you haven't watched the movies, Jango Fett is Boba Fett's dad, but like Boba's really a clone of him. But anyway, but he's like one of the most feared bounty hunters in the galaxy. And yeah, so you get to fly, like, so you get to run around as him, and there is plenty of weapons in his arsenal that you could use. He has dual blasters, he's got a flamethrower, poison darts, rockets that launch off of his jetpack. And yeah, so you could use a jetpack once you get it to fly around a little bit. And I will say this, I do enjoy the fact that the game actually makes it so you don't start off with a jetpack, and it lets you just focus on like the basic mechanics of the game. But when you do get that jetpack, you realize, like, you find out that it only works for so long. It's not like a long extended flight thing, and so you will have to find like areas where you can perch or like rest behind so that your jetpack can reload. But also using your flamethrower will also deplete that jetpack. And yeah, it's just, there is a story behind it, and it's the story of how Jango Fett was chosen to become the, to be the, I don't know how you want to put it, the, not like the prototype, but like, you know, the donor for like all the clones, because, I mean, they're the ones who, I mean, the Geonosians cloned them, or not Geonosians, Kaminoans? I don't know how the heck you pronounce it. Anyway, starting to get into Star Wars lore. But speaking of lore, this is set in the expanded universe stuff, so it's not canon, in case you care about that. But yeah, it's just a lot of levels where you get to go around and you're hunting for a specific bounty, or trying to escape various things because, you know, you're going on the more unscrupulous side of the Star Wars universe, where you've got danger at every turn, criminals who are easily going to double cross you the first chance that they get. And so you have to keep your wits and your abilities about you. Some of it's puzzle solving, some of it's just, you know, learning how to attack stuff. But it's an interesting game. I'm glad that we finally got to play it. And it's definitely worth the $20, but I will say this, the game definitely does show its age in terms of how the enemies move, the puzzles that are involved with the game, or just like the map layout. Some of it's stuff that like you just would have seen back in games that had come out at that time, but not so much anymore. Like, I don't know how exactly to put it. I mean, but it has, and of course this is kind of dumb because I was going to say like it has a very LucasArts adventure kind of feel. Well, duh.
LucasArts. What would they have to do with Star Wars?
But it like, it reminds, like it's very similar to like the old Jedi Knight games, if you played them. And so, yeah, like it's pretty fun. And like, it's a good thing that we came back and we got to try this.
Jedi Knight 1 and 2 playable via backward compatibility.
No, Jedi Knight is not playable.
Jedi Academy
is not Jedi Knight 2.
Jedi Knight 2 is Jedi Outcast.
Yes, that is correct. Jedi Knight is actually Dark Forces 2.
Then what's Jedi Academy?
That's a spin-off of Jedi Outcast.
Well, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Jedi Knight 2, playable via backer compatibility. Along with like 11 other Star Wars games. Dude, there's too many to keep track of which ones are spin-offs of which one. I'm just going by the list here. I see Jedi Knight and Jedi Knight 2, and that's all I think.
But
this one's $20. What do you think?
It's $20. Like, it's totally worth it, especially if you're looking for like a spin down memory lane. And Aspyr has included like some neat stuff. And to be honest, I'm not sure if it was in the original game because I didn't get to play the original game. But like, they have stuff like a comic book that you can read in there, like art from the devs, stuff that you like. You know, it's nice to look at and get some more history on the game. I do hope that Aspyr does continue these kind of releases, because it would be nice if we could keep these Star Wars titles alive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some of these games, like, we haven't had a chance to play them in, like, I mean, heck, this one, we haven't had a chance to play it in, like, 20 years. Like, you know, what about, like, Episode 1, that game, or, like, Battle for Naboo? Like... Yes, GoldenEye 1971 said we need a Shadows of the Empire remake.
I love
yes, we
Shadows
do.
Of the Empire.
Dude, that snow speeder level at the very beginning was the best thing ever in 1996. So good. But yeah, so definitely worth the $20.
Cool. All right, next game to talk about. Some indie called Cat Quest 3. Haven't heard of it. Developed by the Gentle Bros, published by Kepler Interactive, released August 7th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $19.99. Plays a swashbuckling privateer in this 2.5D open-world action RPG set in a fantastical pirate-themed world, the Peribean, an archipelago swarming with pirates searching for the Northern Star, a long-lost mythological treasure. Alongside your trusty spirit companion, set sail through the Peribean in your very own ship, but beware, the seas are dangerous, and a mutiny is nigh as hordes of pirates under the order of the Pirate King hunt you down. For those interested in hearing more about this game, start the episode over. If you're just here for the review, Bree, tell us about Cat Quest 3.
So, unlike the previous fantasy theme, Cat Quest 3 is pirate-themed. It's like two things I love put into one. And it's full of catty, piratey puns. If there is even a loose way to put purr, fur, paw, or meow in the place of a word, you can bet that they did. And it is phenomenal.
Awesome.
It is awesome. Oh. Absolutely. And phenomenal. Yes. All right. It's possum. We'll go with possum. But like let's talk about the story. There is a star of legend, the North Star, that will give you whatever your heart desires if you can find it. And our story starts with a ship-to-ship battle where our hero is the lone baby survivor of the battle. And the baby is discovered by the ghostly Captain Cappy, our little spirit friend. And then 15 years later, they've all experienced pirates now, is where our story really begins. They've been training to be the best pirates they can be. And we're looking for clues to the North Star treasure. And our first clue is the birthmark on the back of the head of our main character. It's shaped just like a star, just like the heroes in the previous game had the marks on their heads as well. This is an action RPG, so we attack and dodge our way through battles. We also have long-range weapons in this one, like my favorite, the Meow Sheen Gun, to attack from distance.
I use that
best
one.
Best gun.
Yes, and now we can sprint. We'll have to fight a lot of pirates, being that we're a hero cat. We also have access to magic like flames and light yan. During our tutorial, we fight our first boss, and our prize is our very own ship. The pirate ship is fun to sail around in, and since cats don't typically swim, you get a little floaty whenever you jump in the water. Unlike in the previous games where you got the magic of water walking, you can just float around or sail around all of the water, all of the map. You've got access to everything right away. You can even attack things on the island with your ship. You can summon your ship from any dock. If you get lost when you're walking around, you just go to the nearest dock and summon it up. You'll be good to go. The map opens up and allows you to put markers down, which was a great improvement I found very helpful. I think it's important to note, this game, you really can, it's very open world. You can go just about anywhere right from the start, as opposed to being locked into areas based on levels, with a few exceptions. You're still going to struggle with higher level enemies if you go too far outside the story path, but the feeling of the world being open was a welcome change. Like, it was so open in comparison to the previous games. The artwork is a darling cartoon style world with excellent lighting, little details like flame animations. The water is beautiful. It's a very pretty world to be in, and I would say that the graphics were much improved over the previous game. There was a lot more variety to the music in Cat Quest 3, and the transitions between areas were really well done. Game features an auto-save and manual save points that refill your health and allow you to add or remove local co-op partners without having to leave the action, which I thought was a nice addition as well. You don't have to start the game fresh, exit out your game to have your friend come in. You just go to the rest beacons, which are little parrots, rest beacons, beacons. Yes. you can get your friends right into the action. Also, you go there to save. You curl up in a tiny cat nap when you save. Now, it's really a cute animation. The old rest animation was just sort of like flop onto your side and nap. So that's also much improved. And I would say the save points are really generous, especially in dungeons. They're everywhere for you to save often. I also love the changes in dungeon exploration that includes buildings to explore floor by floor. And there are a few areas that required some precision movement that were challenging, but I got through them with a little practice. Since this is an action RPG, I need to talk about combat stuff for sure. The combat is fast and fun. I use metal claws as a weapon and a boar tooth trinket that damages as I dodge through the enemy, and add some magic fire for good measure, and now I'm a whirling mass of fur tooth and claw, and it is so much fun.
Have a lightning build.
Yeah, I do a mix of lightning and meteor now that I'm doing all of the tower stuff that works really well. And you have a lot of options for ranged weapons, magic. You can really customize your playstyle with all these different trinkets and equipment. The progression of the game felt really well balanced and rewarding every step of the way. You can upgrade your skills like magic at the mage shop, weapons at the blacksmith. When you get a duplicate item, it counts as a free upgrade of what you already have, which was really nice. As we heard earlier in the interview, is there's a lot of bloat removed from the concept of the inspiration that, you know, these games come from. Equipped inventory like hats and coats change the look of your character, but there is a secret mirror that allows you to cosmetically change what you're wearing just for the look and does not affect the equipped items. So, like, I ran around with an eye patch and the Meowtalica jacket cosmetically, which was really, really metal. Let me just tell you, it was a great look and I love it, because especially I've got my like dragon claws hanging off of my back. It just it's super metal. But I was able to have stronger equipment that I actually wanted on my cat equipped. So that was a really cool addition.
The game I didn't even know about that.
Oh, OK. Well, it's in the back of the magic shop.
Okay, that is good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. This game is high in joy of discovery. I wanted to explore all the islands, solve all the puzzles, find all the treasure, and it's also filled with whimsy. The story is simple enough, but it's a joy to interact with all the characters. The puns and jokes always left a smile on my face. The game gives you a clear point of no return, which I really appreciate, because I really wanted to find all the secrets in the game. There's a new game plus, there's a Mew game on the way with added Meowtifiers to, we'll get to see that soon. Can you play this game and enjoy it without having played the other games? Yes, you can. This was my first Cat Quest game, but there are some bigger things you'll miss out on. They did a good job of like quick covering the lore to make the bigger picture make sense though. There is a bigger story going on that connects between the games, and I don't want to spoil that for anyone because it's really cool. And I can say all this because I enjoyed my time with Cat Quest 3 so much that I had to know what was going on with the rest of the series and to make sure I was doing a good review and satisfy my own curiosity about the bigger plot. I played the other two games as well during this time. So it was really great realizing how many things tied in from the original games, like the blacksmith in 3 is the sibling to the blacksmith in 1 and 2. If you like 2, you're gonna love 3. it's similar but upgraded in almost every way. The map is so much bigger, or better at giving you clues to things. I liked the system of like completing dungeons was very nice, like in comparison to the others. There were familiarly named locations and ideas, the Twin Towns, the Lonely Island. The visuals and music were much improved, and unlike the transition from 1 to 2, this one just felt fresh and new, and it's still Cat Quest, and it's phenomenal.
Well, I know everyone played this, so Aki, quick thoughts on it. What do you think?
I fucking love this game. It was great. I love going around killing things, and my setup is I want to make money. So I have the gold stuff, because that makes money, and it makes your attack stronger the more money you have. So, yeah, it was great. I really can't wait for the modifiers to come out, because that should be fun.
Jacob, your thoughts quick.
I really enjoyed it. It's an easy pick up and play game, especially if you've never played any of the previous ones. But what I really liked about it is that it's not only an appropriate game I can play with my kids, but it's one that's easy enough for them to tag along with in co-op. So if you're looking for a good family fun game for like kids 6 and up, this is definitely a good choice. I really enjoyed it.
Well, the game clocks in at $20. Bree, what is your verdict?
Give me Whiskers. This is a buy it. I'd say this is one of my favorite games of the year so far. I'm looking forward to the new game plus that I'm going to play starting soon. Checking out the Mew game for the challenge. I'd also highly recommend checking out the rest of the series if you haven't already.
I can agree with that. This is like one of the only games this year that I completed start to finish multiple times over at this point.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Why?
Because you haven't completed very much. That's sad.
He has a life, Aki.
Well, that and I've been in such a mental funk for like a year now that I can't get out of. And Cat Quest helped me. So yes. Not only is it an amazing game, it like helped me mentally and calmed me and made me happy. And it's just a really, really solid game. So I absolutely agree with the buy it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Any other thoughts?
I love it. Goodbye it now.
Right. Sounds meow.
Good. Right meow.
I tried to do that, but I couldn't. I can't do the pun. I just can't.
Anyway, next game to talk about is Arrow the Acrobat, developed by Shinyadin and Sunsoft, published by Rattlake Games, released August 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $5.99. The powerful and eccentric industrialist Edgar Ector has sworn to destroy the world of amusement he started by invading a local circus with his gang of mad clowns, kidnapping all the circus staff to spoil the show. Now it's up to Arrow the Acrobat, the circus star performer, to rescue his friends and girlfriend Ariel and put a stop to Edgar's mad plan so everyone can enjoy the show again. Jacob, tell us about Arrow the Acrobat.
So Arrow the Acrobat came out back, it's either 1993 or 1994. And I remember looking at the ads in the comic books and Sports Illustrated for Kids at the time and just being like, that looks like a Sonic the Hedgehog ripoff. And maybe art-wise he is. Like, honestly, gameplay is... it's kind of like halfway between Mario and halfway Sonic. It's a lot of platforming stuff. And so, yeah, you play as Arrow, and each level that you have has a specific thing that you're supposed to do. Now, keep in mind, this is made in early, mid-90s, so it's not like there's a tutorial level. And everything that you would have needed to read would have been in the manual. And hopefully it like explains stuff better. Cause a lot of this, I honestly had to like try to figure out on my own. And I ended up, I admit I did end up having to consult a YouTube, long play video a couple of times just because like, I wasn't even sure what the heck the game was talking about. And so, each level will tell you what you need to do. And sometimes it could just be as simple as, oh, well, you have to find 7 platforms and you have to break them to get to the next level, which will then release this like ring portal thing that you can hop through and then you get to the next level. And of course there's all these little enemies that are flying, running around or whatever. And honestly, you are way better off using your acrobatic skills of jumping really high, or shoot. I mean, you can shoot this like little pellet thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like stale popcorn or like circus peanuts or something like that. But you have to get past all these villains or enemies, whatever you want to call them. And the game does give you achievements for like wiping out X amount in a certain level, but I found it was way better just to dodge them, like just to get everything done. Thankfully, the game also does have like accessibility assist with it. So if you want to have infinite lives or more, or even just more lives or like a better health bar, stuff like that, the game does make it so you could do that. Or if you just want to have invincibility, you could do that too. But yeah, like, so it might just be like, all right, get rid of these platforms, or you have to figure out where the key is on this level and then go for your girlfriend. One thing that I found to be kind of annoying was that if you weren't paying attention to the text at the very beginning of the level, well, you're kind of screwed. So like there would be times where like my kids will like come down and be like, "Dad, I need this," like just as I was like starting a level, and then I'd have to go consult a YouTube video to find out what I was actually supposed to be doing in the level.
You know, there's a rewind feature, right? You could just rewind.
I thought that was just like if you messed up and you died. I didn't even think about trying to rewind a level.
I mean, if it's like part of the stage, I'd imagine you could rewind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually never thought to try it with that. I only tried, I only used it when I was like, when I had actually like messed up, like, you know, trying to fight a boss or like, you know, I didn't time a jump correctly. That's worth checking out, but whatever. I digress. I will say this, on modern controllers, it feels kind of weird and inaccurate if you're trying to use a joystick. So you're going to want to use your D-pad when playing this game. But honestly, I thought it was an interesting game to check out. Like, I mean, the game's like 30 years old, and it's one that, like, as a kid, I had dismissed because, like, they're just trying to go like do Sonic, like whatever. Because, like, admittedly, there were tons of like those kind of platformer games back then, and it was easy to get lost in that kind of shuffle with that stuff. But yeah, like, it's a solid title. It feels like it needs like a bit more, like, obviously they're not going to go back like 30 odd years and like, you know, give it like some more polish, but like, it was solid enough. I enjoyed it. I'm not exactly sure how much Rattalake is charging for it.
Oh man, if only you listened to the intro.
Yeah, I don't.
That'd be crazy. $5.99.
$5.99. Oh, it's totally worth it. Good lord. Yeah.
Horror Acolyte says that the objectives for each level are in the game manual, and the manual is in the game, so you can just look.
I never did.
Proud of you. $5.99, official verdict.
Yes, totally. And cool. They are going to be releasing the rest of the series monthly. So we just got Arrow, I think Arrow 2 comes out September. I think the third one comes out October, and then Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel comes out in November.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about those as the time comes, if we are able to. But
for fingers now, crossed
there. So
yep. And it's a welcome addition.
All right, next game to talk about, Creatures of Ava, developed by Inverge Studios and Chibig Studio, published by 11-Bit Studios, released August 7th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $24.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Let your empathy guide you as you play an exciting action-adventure creature-saver game. Understand and tame the creatures of Ava and let them lead you through a variety of ecosystems, all in the hopes of saving the planet from a life-consuming infection. Aki, tell us about your time with Creatures of Ava.
Okay. In this, you play as a young woman named Victoria, and she is hurtling towards this planet from outer space in a little escape pod, it looks like. And you crash land because everything goes wrong. Because why wouldn't it go right for once in a video game character's life? Ever? Yeah, you are on this alien planet. And turns out you are actually there to teleport all the creatures, or at least a large amount of creatures, from the planet to an orbital space station. Because there's this weird infection, this plant growth that infects the anything living it gets in contact with for too long and is basically slowly creeping across the planet, destroying it. Because, yay! Yeah, you have to interact with the local humanoid population and try and get help getting around places, because everything is locked off thanks to this plant growth that they call the Wither. None of the alien people seem particularly worried about it. They're just like, you know, this is just part of life, the ebb and flow, you know. It's nothing to be concerned about, but all the humans that were here prior, as well as your team now, they're like, no, this is dangerous, this is going to kill the planet, so we better get these people whether they want to come or not. And yeah, so your first start off is trying to get this tribe to be friendly towards you, so you can get the tools you need to start getting the animals. And yeah, you very quickly come across a staff that allows you to do some magical stuff, as well as clear the infection from animals, and a flute that you are taught how to play. The flute actually requires you to play songs on it. And with that, you get the animals to follow you like the Pied Piper. It is fantastic. They are adorable, and I love them all. So the creatures of Ava come in three different types. Infected, which are immediately hostile to you and will attack the ever-living shit out of you. Wild, which are typically not friendly towards you either. Some of them will run, a lot of them will attack you if you get too close, and then friendly. Once you clear the infection from one of them, they are automatically sent directly to friendly. All the wild ones have to be convinced to follow you by playing music. So it's a fun little, I guess I'll call it a mini game for lack of a better word.
You're a mini game.
I know, right? And basically they make some noises and it shows up on your little list of notes and you have to play that back to them. Most of them that I've come across are only like three or four notes, so it's not particularly difficult. And it is lit up where you need to go next every time. So even if you aren't paying attention to the creature, you still know what you're doing just by looking at your little wheel of musical notes. So, it's really nice. Once they're friendly, you can pet them. You can pet them all. It doesn't matter if it's a bird, a pig thing, a horse thing. It doesn't matter. You get to pet them all. All the things are petted. Yeah, other than that, you get to go around and solve little puzzles and see ancient structures and stuff like that to level up, to give yourself some new abilities. Most of them are, oh, I can get more crafting stuff, or, hey, this magic I got, I can do some upgrades for it to make it a little better. Nothing too exciting. It's not like, oh, I've turned this power into something super impressive. No, it's like, it lasts almost a second longer. It's like, that's your great, amazing power up there. Basically you're going from biome to biome and collecting the animals from it and trying to convince all the people, hey, get the fuck off planet with me, so that you will survive, you stupid idiots. All while clearing out as much of the infection as you can, because you cannot stop all of it, but you can stop parts of it to allow you to get through areas a little more easily. Sadly, there are currently some bugs to the game. Hopefully this weekend they will a patch will go through to fix a whole bunch of them, is what the devs are hoping. There are currently some game-breaking bugs, though, so be careful if you're, you know, playing it or planning to play it soon. But yeah, currently I've lost about 10, 11 hours in the game to game-breaking bugs. Yeah, I played for 6 hours and lost all of it, and then I played for 6 hours and lost 4 of it. And
is
now
there no autosave, or is it just...
There's autosaves, but the game-breaking bugs don't prevent you from playing some of the game. They prevent you from continuing it past a certain point. So, like, there was a bug right after basically the tutorial, and I didn't realize it broke it. So I played it for another over 4 hours. Ouch. And then was like, there is nothing else I can do here. What am I missing? And it basically broke the quest chain and made it to where I no longer had a quest. And that prevented me from getting items I needed in order to further the game after I got where I was. Yeah, it kind of sucked. And I might, and right now I think I have another like 12 to 15 hour save now, and it might be broke. We're going to find out. They're still looking into it. So we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, as for now, the game clocks in at $25. What are your thoughts on Creatures of Ava?
As much time as I've put into this and lost, I still really like this game. It's really fun, very vibrant, and very cute. So I think it's totally worth it. Just be prepared. There are some bugs, so maybe wait for the patch. If that kind of stuff really bothers you, but I'll still be playing even if this save ends up being broken. I lose like another 20 hours.
Is Aki getting all robotic to you guys? Or is
yeah.
It-
yeah.
Aki okay. is. Okay, thank God. I thought I had to like...
Shit's broken, Aki.
TikTok.
Didn't do nothing. Am I still robotic?
Yeah, you're still robotic. Hold on. The good thing is that was your review, so...
Yeah. Y'all heard enough. Go buy it.
Yeah. Next game to talk about, Honeyland, developed by Caio Flavio, published by Aphil Games, released August 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Honeyland is a charming puzzle with a turn-based strategy. Help Mr. Fluff to drink all the honey from Honeyland. Jacob, what is Honeyland?
So, Honeyland is this, I mean, you pretty much described what it is. It's a turn-based strategy game where you try to get... What, I'm sorry, his name's Mr. Fluff.
Yes, Mr. Fluff.
Mr. Fluff the bear, to get to the jar of honey. And how you do that is that you're given the set of cards, and each card lists what direction your bear will move in and how many moves that you'll get. And pretty much it's just you can only move like a certain amount of dots, and you have to figure out how to get from point A to point B using these dots. And the answer is not always so simple. Like sometimes it might involve having to take like 2 steps back, like 1 step forward, then 3 steps back. So then you can move like 4 spaces total just to get over to the honey. And of course, like a couple like that. Bree, what was that Aphil Games, Soka, whatever puzzle game that we reviewed.
I don't remember. Wait, which Soko game.
Okay. It was the one where you had to move like the ice pucks or whatever.
Oh, Soko Mage.
Yeah. Thank you. Soko Mage, where it's just like the first couple of levels are like very, like, you know, they're pretty easy. And then all of a sudden it just ramps up the difficulty real quick. It's frustrating, but like it's not bad. Like I wish graphically there was a little bit more to it, but you know, if you like racking your brain on puzzle games, this is definitely one that you should be checking out.
Bree, what are your thoughts on it? I know you played this one too.
Yeah, it got more complex, definitely. And then to add to the strategy, about, I don't know, 2/3 of the way through, you or maybe halfway through, you start picking up cards, but you can't see what they are until you get there. So you have to then strategize to like get to a card to see if it'll help you and then possibly use that card, which was kind of cool. But definitely the challenge ramps up quickly. I think I got through about 10 levels and then I was like, I wonder if someone made a guide. This is starting to get hard. And I think there's 30 levels total. So it's not super long. But the only other time I've seen this type of puzzle with the cards was it was a cat game. I think it was called Bright Paw. So like I had some idea of how to solve this style of puzzle to begin with. But it's a cool challenge, certainly. And it was a decent game.
I will say this, the animation of the bear getting the honey, that was odd.
The one at the very end, though, when you complete the game, is super cute.
Okay, well, I'm glad it got cuter because I'm just like, this bear is making out with that jar of honey. Like he is having relations with that jar of honey. I don't think we're just getting him a tasty meal. I think
there's something in the honey. Like
he's too excited. After dark.
Yeah.
$5, your official verdicts.
Yeah, it's worth $5.
Yeah, it's worth that. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. One final game to talk about tonight. We are going to go to Mars with I Want to Go to Mars, developed by Bin Chicken Studios, published by Sometimes You, released August 7th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, for $4.99. Embark on an award-winning, imaginative adventure that's perfect for the whole family. Build your rocket, pass moon customs, dodge asteroids, and collect star fuel in this short and heartwarming tale of adventure and growth. Jacob, I know you didn't grow playing this, but did you have an adventure?
A little bit. So I Want to Go to Mars is a story about a young kid and his teddy, and they decide, I want to go off to Mars. However, a recent storm has wrecked the stuff in your backyard, so you have to build up a new rocket ship. And by gathering bits and pieces of stuff around your yard, you can build a new rocket ship. And then you could go up into space, and then you have like a little bit of, I don't know if I'd say like visual novel flair to it. But I mean, that works. There is some arcadey like stuff with little mini games in between like the chapters, I guess you would say. But overall, it's a pretty quick game. I beat it in 20 minutes without a game guide, I might add.
No, that's actually impressive.
That was supposed to be a joke. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but yeah, like I remember reading descriptions for this, and it described itself as a point-and-click adventure. It's not quite there. I mean, you're pretty much guiding the kid around with the controller, with the joystick. And you're like, you could pick up random things or talk to people. And so it's like, it's got the basics down for introducing like a young kid to like the idea of point and click adventures. But it's not quite that. But in all reality, like it's a short game. I think kids will like it. And like, you know, as I said, it creates the building blocks for later games, stuff like Full Throttle, Day of the Tentacle, Axel and Pixel, stuff like that that your kids might play one day.
Gotcha.
I liked it. I thought it was cute. But it's
Bree, what did you think of it?
I would say that it felt like the sort of thing you would do as a bedtime story with the kid. There were cute jokes in there that were aimed at adults. You know, you have your pal 9000 instead of Hal 9000, and he makes a little joke about it. You know, so there's stuff in there for the adult to enjoy, little jokes as they're doing something with the young one. And yeah, it just felt like, you know, about 20-30 minutes, you've got this thing you can do, and it's kind of like a bedtime story. It was a very cute story, very easy to kind of get through. Although I will say, I had a struggle with the asteroid field.
Oh, really?
I did. It was comical. There's a moment where when you go through the phase, it like a little pop-up window comes with text at the end, and it actually stops you from being able to move your ship. And so I actually got to the end and like got hit by a rock while it was saying, good job, you're done. And then I died because I'd run out of health.
Oh,
and I had to restart the whole thing. It was comical.
I mean, first, get good, scrub.
I know, right?
But
it was very cute.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That asteroid section was a little odd because the game also doesn't tell you like what the hit detection is going to be.
Yeah.
If you go too far to the left or right, that depletes one of your hearts. Mm-hmm. Or like there were plenty of times where like I had very close scrapes to an asteroid and it didn't take away anything. But meanwhile, like, you know, if it barely grazes like the head of the rocket, boom.
Like, yeah, the hit detection was a little inconsistent there. But thankfully, they gave you little things you could collect that were all little jokes, like if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge an asteroid.
Yes, I forgot about that, too. Like,
you can collect the different things, and they refill your health.
But so, the game doesn't tell you that either. And no. So here I am thinking, like, oh, they're being funny. I need to dodge that.
Yeah, and I did that the first time, too. And then I realized
Well, it wasn't until like the final round that I accidentally ran into it and it restored all my health. And I was like, oh,
yeah, well,
shoot. I should have grabbed these. Like, yeah. this would have been less complicated.
Yeah.
And the ending I thought was kind of interesting, which obviously we won't spoil. I'm like, if they do make a sequel, I'm curious to where it goes.
Jupiter.
Yeah. It was good creative play in video game form, and it was very cute.
Yeah, like it kind of reminded me of it was like a happy Twilight Zone ending. or this is gonna be a deep dive for people, but in the 1980s there was a Marvel comic series called Star Brand. And they kind of reminded me of that, which, of course, I can't talk about without spoiling the ending.
Here's a game designed for kids. Let's talk about a comic from the 80s that no one heard about.
Hey, shut up.
I want to go to Mars. It's $5. Via pricing, it's $5 on Xbox One, $5 on Series, $5 on each individual platform. It does have unique achievement stacks if you're into that. What are your thoughts on this game at $5 a pop?
Yeah, I'm all right with spending $5 on it, especially if you're an achievement hunter. You can blow through it in 20, 30 minutes.
Worth buying it twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be all right with it. I mean, do you get like a discount?
You do.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, definitely.
I believe it's you own the Xbox One version, you get half off the Series version.
That is usually the deal,
Then for $250, it's totally worth it.
There you go.
So buy it twice, folks.
Alrighty, well, we made it through this episode. Hooray!
Yay.
We did
Yay.
It.
It's a miracle!
Big thanks to you three for being here the whole time, hanging out, keeping me company. Massive, massive thanks to Desmond for coming on, chatting with us. Big thanks to Kepler Interactive for setting that up with us. Big thanks to Tinsley PR for hooking everyone up with a review code. So massive thanks to them. They didn't have to do that. They were awesome enough to hook everybody up. So you guys lucked out with that one, that Tinsley likes us a little bit sometimes.
Thank you for liking.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Music this episode. We're going to play something from Cat Quest. What do you think of that?
Yay.
I don't know what yet. I got to go through the soundtrack, find a song I like, but we're going to play some from it.
I mean, awesome. At least you won't get an email from YouTube, like, whenever I request music, so that works.
True. Every time you're the Megas, I get a copyright claim.
Oops. Like Joe finally told me that.
It's a claim and not a strike. It's just like, hey, you got to do revenue sharing, and I don't do revenue at all on YouTube, so it doesn't fucking matter to me.
Yeah, you can share the revenue of absolutely 0 cents.
Yeah. I had monetization on all our videos for like 10 years, I didn't even make enough for a payout. So I just turned it off because fuck ads. I think it's like $25 for a payout.
Oh, wow.
I didn't make that in a decade on YouTube.
Damn.
Yeah. How fucked up is that? Twitch, I'll get a payout every couple of months.
YouTube likes to keep all the ad revenue they make for themselves. What can we say?
Fuck you, YouTube.
I mean, to be fair,
with our eight views on some episodes.
to be fair, like, our marketing budget is $5, and that's if I chip it in. So, you know.
The marketing budget is whatever I spend on lip balm.
Which, I'm not gonna lie, out of context, that does not sound good. Like,
in context, it doesn't sound good either.
Yeah, that
right now.
Is it the SML flavor or is it like
pancakes?
Nice.
Yeah. Does anyone have any final words to end the show before we listen to some Cat Quest music?
Quest.